As we are in the same room, I would appreciate some form of a dialogue at some point with you guys. It'd be really good fun. Has it ever occurred to you that the Bible was never meant to be read? The Bible that you've got in front of you is about 500 years old, give or take. The idea that you as a person, as an individual in a congregation, can have access to a book that you can read, understand and discern isn't as old as the Bible itself. The Bible itself was communicated through what, mainly? Letters, verbal. Stories, yeah. The Bible was communicated through stories. Whose stories? Jesus' stories? True stories. God's stories.
Our stories.
Lots of stories. I think in Exodus, the first time we ever read about why the Bible was written, there was a war going on between the Israelites and another tribe. And God says to Moses to write down the story of what happened. That's the first note that we ever get of why the Bible was written in terms of actually writing down what's happening. So this Bible isn't for us to go away and study by ourselves with a lamp and a notepad. Although that is amazing and please do that. That wasn't its intention. Now, often when you tell stories, this is going to sound really silly, but I'm not meaning to patronize anyone. How do you tell stories?
Start at the beginning.
Once upon a time.
In a galaxy far, far away.
Beautiful job. Judy. Yeah, something that paints a picture of what we're trying to get at, what we're trying to explain. But even before you start saying any words, what is a necessary part of a story?
Person to tell it to.
Person to tell it to. Tim, full marks.
He's a teacher.
He teaches English. Stories are meant to be told in community. Stories aren't meant to just be read by one person. Stories have always meant to be told from person to person, family to family, generation to generation, culture to culture. Stories are a hugely important part of life, but also a hugely important part of church life. So when we come to look at this Bible, and we kind of get this idea that, you know, I can just, if, as long as I read it, as long as I understand it, I'm okay, you're missing at least half of what the intention was, which was meant to be read, listened to, told, communicated in community.
It's really good, Jason.
Thanks, Tim. Tim said it was really good, by the way, for those of you listening at home. Now, even as we get to 1 Corinthians, what would happen is Paul, the guy who wrote this letter, would write a letter either in his own hand or he'd get someone to write it out for him, and he'd send it to a church. Now, literacy levels today are really high compared to back then. Back then, you had to be super educated, super rich, in order to be able to read something. Because, of course, to even read something, you have to be able to afford the parchment that it's written on, which is, of course, also super expensive. So it was very much a class, elitist kind of thing going on, which is why the Bible's so great, because it smashes culture and smashes classism, politicalism, all that kind of stuff, which is, you know, inadvertent anarchy, which I love. So what would happen is the leader of the church would receive a letter from Paul. They'd know it was from Paul because it'd be written with his hand, or there'd be a seal on it or something. And what they wouldn't do is they'd keep it to themselves, go away for a few weeks, study it, write down pages and pages of notes, and then when they're ready with a sermon series and graphics and worship songs that go with the general theme and lots of practice, then they share it with the church. What would happen is that they'd get the letter, they'd invite everyone around their house church, because that's where churches met, because of course church wasn't this thing we see at the moment. Church was an underground politically activated, motivated group of people. It was a community based on social change. So they'd get around this letter that Paul had written, and they'd read it out. And they'd read it out word for word what was written. And what do you think would happen whilst they were reading that letter? Get excited? Revelation?
Worried.
Worried? Yeah, could be worried. What else might happen if you're reading a letter from someone quite a way away, while coming over to you? Who's ever written an email here? Yeah? Who's ever had someone respond to your email with, "What on earth are you on about?" Anyone ever had that?
Yeah.
Or even, the next one is, even if you don't know what you're on about, I've done something that you've asked me to do, and what they've done is completely not what you asked them to do. Yeah, anyone had that? Yeah, or even a text or a Facebook message, because sometimes the written medium isn't the clearest, is it? No, it's not. Because it's better face-to-face, we're better together, yeah? Yeah, there's a whole lot of verbal cues. Talking with a mask, you don't see my face. And it's really awkward, and a lot of people really struggle with this because you don't see all the facial expressions. So, of course, if you're reading this letter, you'd be expecting someone to be like, "Sorry, what was that word again?" Or, "Does he really mean that? Are you sure?" I'm not convinced. So, even when the Bible was written as letters, there was still a community aspect to how it was taken in. The truth of God isn't relative. The truth of God isn't voted in by majority vote. The truth of God is shared in community, and there's a slight difference between the two. It doesn't mean because more people believe this, that's what we believe. We believe it because of the revelation of the Holy Spirit working through the community of believers. So, this is where we now find ourselves in 1 Corinthians, because the Corinthian church was a church that had Paul had planted. You can read about it, I think it's Acts 18. Josh, do you want to bring the camera down a little bit? My head's right in the middle, and I feel like some kind of a puppet or something. Thanks. So, the church in Corinth... Now I look like I'm on the toilet. So the church in Corinth had been planted by Paul, and when Paul had then left, he got reports of what was happening in the church. Now, the reports he got from the church were they believed all the right things. However, what they did in their lives didn't match up with their belief. What they said they believed wasn't professed in how they practiced their belief, because profession and practice aren't always the same thing. Yeah? We might say we believe something, but it's what we do that actually shows what we believe. Yeah, you might say that you believe, you might say to your little five-year-old kid, "Sure, you can drive the car." You're not going to let them drive it though, are you? No? So, the church in Corinth had been planted by Paul, believed all the right things. However, they were doing a whole host of really wrong things. They were hoping to, I think they were trying to pay people to preach the gospel, in terms of a gospel that they liked, that sounded good, sounded eloquent. Was very similar to kind of what other temple preachers were doing. They had people in the church who were sleeping with their stepmom. That's not good. There were people in the church taking each other to court to kind of take them to trial, to sue them. So Paul hears all these stories. There's a few more. And kind of the whole letter is written in kind of in terms of blocks that relate to each of these aspects. So he's saying, you say you believe the right things, but you're not living it out. So we're now in chapter 12, and we're going to hit it off from verse 4. So it says, "Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, to another, interpretation of those tongues. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Sorted? Good, we can go. A bit of explanation helps, doesn't it? So, what does this mean for us? Who came this morning excited? Who came this morning excited? Wonderful. Who came this morning with a sense of expectancy of what they were going to... Wonderful. Who felt ready to receive something from God this morning, either in the worship or through the Word? Beautiful. Who came ready to give God worship today? Beautiful. 100% so far, guys. Who's come ready to give the gift that you have within you to someone else within the church? Ooh, that's a slightly less hands. So, our job as a community of believers, I don't mean our job as in people on this stage, our job as a community of believers is to believe each of us individually has what? The manifestation of the Spirit. Manifestation is basically a word for like the empowering or the physical transformation of. So that means that every single person here who says that Jesus Christ is Lord has the power of the Spirit in them. True? True? If you don't think it's true, it's in the Bible, so it must be. So if that's true, then you have something to give. True? Yeah. So there's a couple of awkward points that come from this. And that people, I'll say that in a bit. When we come to church, there's often a group of people who do a lot of the giving. We call it serving. And we call it serving, and it's become such a part of modern church culture that we even call our Sunday meetings, we call them services, because we're serving people. Now, we have an amazing worship team. Yeah? We have a worship team. Yeah. We have an amazing team of people who are talented and gifted in their instruments, in their voices, and who seek after God and minister to us and serve us through the medium of song, so that we, as people, as a congregation, can give worship to God, which is an amazing gift of the church. We are also gifted to have great leaders within the church, people that care about you, people that want the best for you, people who organize things within church, like structure, like small groups, like offerings, like the very hidden guys at the back, Ash and Josh, for organizing the camera work and the words that come up on the screen. We have a small team of people who are here to serve you. So the question then is, what is left? If you think about all the preparation that goes into the worship, goes into the preach, goes into the media, goes into the coffees that we will be getting back soon one day, that goes into cleaning this building, that goes into making sure your house groups have got things to be going through. Think of all that preparation to come on a Sunday to serve you. Does this match up with what we've just read in Corinthians? What's missing? Gifts of the Spirit. You. You're missing. If every person who is here has the power of the Spirit within them, and every person here has the ability, and therefore I believe the responsibility, to be bringing and giving as much as anyone else involved in a meeting. And I say meeting at the moment because we're going to get into the next bit in a second. Someone who preaches might spend hours getting themselves ready. Someone who's leading the worship might spend hours practicing, getting themselves ready. If you're coming with, just because you can't sing doesn't mean you can't give. Just because you can't, I say can't, aren't preaching doesn't mean you can't come prepared. Just because you're not on kids' work doesn't mean you're not on kids' work, if you get what I'm trying to say. Every single person here should be coming. We should be coming. We believe. You come with the power of the Spirit and therefore come with the responsibility to be giving to the people around you. Giving to who? The community of believers. Giving to who? The people who come in off the street. Coming to who? The people who are around you in family. Giving to who? The people who are suffering, who have suffered loss, who are in grief. Church isn't about a platform or a stage. Church is about the community of believers giving the power of the Spirit within them to each other. So does that mean that every single person has the same gifting? No. It means that each individual person has exactly what is needed for you to give what is needed to the church. Yeah? The Spirit within you is given, is apportioned to you according to what the Spirit wills. So the great thing about this is the Spirit knows what I need more than I know what I need. The Spirit knows what you need more than you know what you need. So that means somewhere in this church, physically here now, there is someone with the power of the Spirit within them right this very second that has got exactly what you need to meet your need. Yeah? That's the power of the Spirit in the work of the church. And why are maybe some of us thinking, oh no, that's really awkward after church? Because we don't often come with that expectation. The same power that we feel in worship, the same revelation we get from a preach, also is available to every single one of you, every single one of us. So, church on Sundays gets really awkward after the meeting finishes, because we then go for, normally, when church opens back up again, we go for a time of tea and coffee, yeah? And what do you often then do around tea and coffee? Chat. But it's often not chat though, is it? It's small talk. Yeah? Most people don't like small talk. So you get one of two people. You get the extroverts who come at you with two cups of coffee, offer you a cup of coffee and go straight into something super spiritual, which scares off a lot of people. I saw a visitor come in through this door halfway through worship once, and God gave me a prophetic word for him. So in all my lack of wisdom, I went straight up to him and just said, can I give you this prophetic word? Prayed it over him, and he never came back. That's one way that he can deal with small talk. Another way is introverts, who the moment the meeting finishes make straight for the door and the car and head home. And it's often it's very difficult to find that midway point. But that's also because church isn't just meant for Sundays, is it? Church is in community. Church is meant to be the community of believers gathering around truth, gathering around the Word, gathering around the power of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit, the gifting that God has given each and every single one of you. Which is why when Jesus says, when two or more are gathered, there I am in their midst. Why? Because God has gifted you with everything you need to make the church work. Amen? Yeah? You're not missing a pastor if there's just you and a small group. You're not missing a worship leader if it's you with your ladies' Bible study and some coffee. You're not missing a children's worker if you're trying to plant a church on a Sunday morning. You've got everything you need for the church that God is building. And this is what, okay, let's carry on with Corinthians. Because a bit later on, so verse 12, so where we just finished off, I'm going to jump, I'm going to jump way to verse 18. So verse 18, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Which is basically the way of saying no person's the same, which is great. But there's also another side to that coin, which is because no one's the same, there's never going to be another you. There's never going to be another you with the week you've just had. There's never going to be another you with the expectation you've got right now. There's never going to be another you with the hope that you have in your heart right now that's going to be here on a Sunday or in your community group on a Wednesday or as a friend that texts your the person in need tonight. Which means that every single person here who is in the community of believers is an integral part of the community of believers. You are needed. If you're not here, I'm missing out. If you're not here, everyone else who's here is missing out. Because the Spirit has gifted you with exactly what is needed for the church to be built up. So where's that gifting going to go if you're not in the community? If you're not around, if you're not connected, if you're not with people side by side, walking through life. I'm not just talking about Sundays, but also through the week as well. We don't just turn up on Sundays and go home. That's not what a community of believers do. We call the community of believers a family. Yeah? Not just because we have families in church. It's not a descriptive word. It's an active word. Family. What is family? Family is when you do all of life together. Yeah? All of life. The ups, the downs, the good, the bad, the messy, the dirty, the clean, the fun. Now, if I told you that I could only stand my wife for an hour, 45 minutes a week. You're laughing already, aren't you? It's not true, by the way. I love my wife a huge amount. We live together. It's good. And we wouldn't expect that to happen, would you, in a family? You can't expect the dad, oh, I just cannot cope. An hour a week is too much for me. I need to be by myself. I need to be with my other friends. Yeah? You'd call that family dysfunctional, right? At least our expectation of family should be quite high. Yet we're happy to do that with church. Yeah. Not just happy, but we're almost kind of, we're expecting people to say that. You're going to church next Sunday? Got a football match. Going to see you at church next Sunday? I was thinking about having the morning off. I've got quite a bit to be catching up with. Or the other side is, Sundays, could not hack it this week. The sound was too loud. The preacher went on for 40 minutes. No, I mean, preachers are half an hour and I'm out. I'm done. 12:30, I'm out that door straight away. So we don't talk about that with family, do you? You don't get to, you know, you don't get to Christmas and be like, guys, 9:30, I've got to be in bed. Yeah, it's Christmas. It's a family meal. You get around together. You share stories with each other. You share what's going on in life together. Yeah? Yet church has become this super, super tight, structured, almost to the minute thing, which is not a bad thing for a Sunday, by the way. I'm not saying this is bad. What I'm saying is this is not enough. Yeah. This was never meant to be it. Yeah. So if your experience of church is just Sundays, A, you're missing out. And B, other people are missing out. Because it's not enough. Yeah. We need to get connected, we need to get integrated into this. Because if you come in and out, it's like, you are a jigsaw piece, you are needed. A jigsaw isn't finished until all the pieces are in the right place. If you're not here, you're missing. I'm missing out. We are missing out. Yeah?
Yeah.
So the word... In verse 18, the word... What's the time, by the way? Verse 18. About a third of the way through, guys, don't worry. So verse 18 says, but as it is, God arranged the members. Say arranged.
Arranged.
What kind of image does that give you?
Flowers.
Flowers. Nice. Flowers, yeah, I'll go with that. Planning. Good.
Chessboard.
I like that. That's a good one. Arranged. What else?
Cogs.
Ah, so fitting in together nicely. I like that as well. That's good. So images that actually have some kind of planning and preparation behind them, yeah? It's not just kind of thrown together, well, hey, that's what we got. Yeah? Church isn't just a mess of thrown together stuff. I know it might seem like it, but it's not. Because why? The Spirit knows exactly what you need. The Spirit's involved. It's not just by accident. Yeah? Let's not treat it like an accident. Yeah? It's on purpose. God's put you here on purpose. If you don't believe that, read Philippians, read Galatians. God has got a purpose for you here as part of this community.
Amen.
So, the word arranged, P plan, put together, chessboard, strategy, fitting in together quite nicely. No spare parts. The word actually used in this sentence is a word called tithemi. Can you all say tithemi? Now, the first bit is tithe, which has nothing to do with tithing. However, you should be tithing, please tithe. The word tithemi is also used by Jesus before he's about to go to the cross. And he uses it in the sentence, no one takes my life, I lay down my life willingly. Can anyone see the word arrange in that sentence? No one takes my life, I lay down my life willingly. Is the word arrange there? No. The word tithemi is though, and it's the word lay down. Jesus uses the same word for arranging here as he does for laying down his life. So when we talk here about God arranging the parts of the puzzle to form church, God arranging the body and the members of the body to form a living corpus, he's not talking about things that just fit nicely together. He's talking about laying down something to build his church. That's a sacrifice. That's a cost. That's not just nice. It's not just neat. Because church isn't just about nice, neat meetings. It's not about nice theology. Although we might make it about that sometimes. It's not about nice people. Although we'd love to meet more nice people. Church is about the whole of the community of believers working together for the purpose of building up the church of Christ. We haven't got time to hit Ephesians, but in Ephesians 4, it talks about that the whole body of believers grows up to maturity. And by maturity, it uses the word unity. The best Christian you can be isn't the most prayed up, fasted up, theological, nicest, charismatic person you know. Ephesians 4 tells us that the most mature Christian you can be is someone who is united. You can't be united just to yourself. You've got to be united with at least one other person. Yeah? You can't be a Christian by yourself. If you're watching this at home and you're sat by yourself, I'd encourage you to either get involved with the Connect Group, be here next Sunday. There's a community that's missing out on you at the moment. So, as we grow up into maturity, into unity, there's a cost that comes with that. There's a laying down of our lives for that. In the same way that the people who serve in the visible spaces give up their time, give up their energy, give up their money to serve you. Everyone has the same spirit of giving and serving the community in them. And it says that, I'm just going to give the exact wording because it's better than what I'm going to paraphrase. So, the Ephesians 4 verse 15, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. So we're meant to grow up growing up into laying down our lives. We grow up to become humbled, just very quickly. Yeah, we grow up to humble ourselves, become servants, like Jesus did. He laid his life down. So then verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. You are an integral part of this church. If you haven't picked that up already, you are a joint in this church. You are a necessary part of this church. Do not ever think that you are not needed. Do not ever think that you are not wanted. Do not ever think that it is just optional in terms of no one's going to miss me if I go. I'm going to miss you. I might not even know you, but I'm going to miss you. Why? Because you're going to bring a different spirit into this church. You're going to bring a different set of giftings into this church. Your friendships, your connections to people within this church, your interactions with people in this church are going to change those people. And that's going to have a chain reaction amongst the church. Your spirit mixes with their spirit through faith. changes the makeup of this church. So don't ever think that you're not important. Don't ever think you've not got purpose. You might not have it written down for you in terms of my purpose is to be in this job by this age, with this many kids, with this car, in this country, whatever. Your purpose is to be a part of the community of believers so that every single person, every single joint that that the church is equipped with builds itself up as a church in love. But the word it says here is working properly. There are some times when we're not working properly. And this is a word that can often be used negatively. It's the word accountability. And as a it's not really a demonstration. But in terms of working properly and taking this whole idea of a body of Christ, a couple of years back, I went to, I think it's a chiropractor. It was in Brazil. I can't remember the name. And basically, one of my legs is slightly shorter than the other, although it's not slightly shorter. What happens is my hips are weird. So like this one hip sticks out, this one part of the hip sticks out slightly, which means that this part of my body is slightly kind of shorter. So I end up, my back's got something in it. So this person was trying, got me laying down and trying to do all these weird massage moves on me, like kind of cracking the back and pulling this leg and twisting this bit. You had a whole bunch of noises that the body shouldn't ever make. But the intention was that it got my joints and it got my muscles and my skeleton back in the right place. It got them working properly together. Now, the thing is that because it's a body and because you get into bad habits, the work that she did very quickly kind of wears off. Yeah, so the idea is, and it's not a money-making scheme, you've got to go back regularly. For checkups, and I've not actually been back since. And of course, what's happened is my body's not quite as good as it should be. Back's aching. Still, I've got to sleep in a funny position, like a pillow between my legs. And accountability is like this. It's like a massage. Accountability is a massage and a click of the back and a twist of the hips to get everything working in the right place the way it should be. Because what happens is, if the hips aren't working, the back goes out of place. If the back goes out of place, my shoulders will get all hunched. And if my shoulders get all hunched, I get really bad headaches. So it is in the church. By working together, things are harmonized. Things are balanced. When things aren't working together, it's not just the hip that feels the pain. It's not just the shin that feels the hurt. It's not just the hand that gets hurt. It's the whole body feels it, because everything's now got to take the weight. If you've heard this talk before about being a body of Christ and you're thinking, I'm a foot. Well, if you didn't have a foot, the whole rest of the body is going to be pretty changed by that, yeah? If you didn't have a finger, the whole rest of the body has now got to counteract to the lack of a finger. If you didn't have a kneecap, the rest of the body has got to compensate for that. So when we talk about integrating and being a part, it means that you're needed. Because without you, there's a gap that affects others. This is why when we talk here about family church and about stories, all of these things have an effect on who we are, how we interact with each other. You have stories that people need to hear to build up faith, to build up hope. You have stories that people need to hear because there might be stories of need. And we have need for people to come and help us with. So, when you get into church, when you find yourself connected into the community, when you find yourself becoming an integral part of what this is, when you find yourself giving into other people, when you find yourself serving other people with the same expectancy as you'd hope the musicians practice with or whoever's helping out us practice with, that you come with the same expectation of giving, we're going to find that the church builds itself up in love. We're going to find ourselves maturing to the full stature of the person of Christ, which is something really attractive to the world. Because you being you in this church isn't just about you. It's about us. It's not just about us. It's about the message that we give to the world. The reason why God told Moses to write down the story of the armies and the way that they won the battle wasn't just so they could recount it to themselves. It was meant to become a message of hope of how God takes our battles individually as a church, and he fights them for us. The stories we tell aren't just for us. They're a hope for the nations. They're a light for the world. They are salt of the earth. So this week, as you go about your normal happenings, I really pray for you, over you, that you understand that God has given you a spirit to be involved with, to affect, to influence other people. He's given you a story to share with others, to bring hope, faith, expectation. But he's given you a purpose. He's given you a family. He's given you a church. He's given you a home. And we love that you're here. We love that you're here. We love that you give your time to this church. For all of those who serve in visible or invisible places, we love you. So turn to the person next to you and say, I love you. Even if they're a stranger, I love you. So, we're about community. And as we open up from lockdown, let's make sure we use all the opportunities at our disposal to increase community, to meet with each other, to share stories, to share faith, to build one another up. Not because we've trained for it, but because we've got the Spirit living inside of us. We've got the responsibility to be that change in people's lives. Amen. Wonderful.